morning. Our primary passage this morning is going to be 2 Corinthians 2. And we are going to be starting in verse 12. So if you'll open up to there and then say a prayer over a message this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that it is you who has brought us together, Father, that it is all because of you and for you, and none that is done, Lord, nothing that is done here, Lord, can we do on our own. And I just pray this morning that whatever you want to share, Lord, whatever you want to speak, Lord, I pray that you would use me to speak that. And even if it's nothing that comes out of my mouth, I pray that you would reveal yourself to each one in this room, that not one would leave this place without taking something with them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have access to it. We love you and we praise you. In your name, amen. I think one of the themes that, if you've kind of followed along with everyone who has preached, well, I'd say this year, it's been a pretty short, we haven't had that many months in, but last year and this year, we always talk about the importance of not what happens in here, but outside, right? We've been really kind of pushing that, not that we have taken this for granted. There's something very special about this time together. It is the time we get to see each other. We get to spend time together as a group. But it really should reinforce, and the ultimate focus should be what happens outside these four walls. So that is kind of going to be along the lines today. I think Ray struggled with my title because I sent him my message notes, and he wrote back, what? So I titled my message, How Do You Smell Today? And I was tempted to have you lean to your neighbor and then let me know, but I don't want you to be uncomfortable. Some of you already know without having to lean towards them, so hopefully it's all good things, and you'll understand why I said that. Out of the senses that we have, I'm not an expert on our senses, but you and I don't wake up daily and recognize the fact that we are using our eyes, right? You open your eyes and say, wow, I can see today. You actively acknowledge, you just know that you can see by the fact that you see. You can hear when you wake up and step out of bed. All those things are not, it's not an active thing that you and I wake up recognizing that we can hear and see, right? But among the senses that we have, two of the ones that we recognize very actively is taste and smell, right? There is an when you smell something, you immediately know that you are smelling something. When you're outdoors, you know that something has died near you. Why? Because I can't see it, but I smell it. Maybe the vultures give it away, but generally when you drive past a certain scent, when you go outside the church, sometimes, particularly in the summer, you'll smell the nice fragrance of cattle right next to us. So the sense of smell is going to be a little bit of our focus today, but you'll understand why. When I was younger, and you're going to learn probably a little bit more about me that you don't really want to know, but I'm going to share it anyway, and only because half of this is just my childhood, and it's no longer a representation of who I am. When I was a child, I had a bad reputation for smelling bad, and I'll tell you why. Number one is because I didn't like to wear socks for a time. Now, Sandy would say I left my socks at her house all the time when I wore socks, but I got into this phase, and I don't even remember what years they were. I will tell you it was before I was 13, okay? So somewhere between 8 and 11, I hated socks. And my mom always got on me because I would not wear socks with my tennis shoes, and I would try to sneak out of the house while just putting my shoes on. And of course, I have many years of repentance for all the homes that I went to that I took off my shoes, and I'm sure that everyone was kind enough not to tell me. But my friends and family were very clear that I smelled funny, and especially in the summer when I would wear tennis shoes outdoors playing sports with no socks. I'm very sad that I did that, mostly for the people I harmed. But I had a reputation of that. And then to go even further, my mom had to get on me because I didn't seem to understand that after I hit a certain age, I needed to put deodorant on. And I didn't do that a lot. Okay? So I had a bad reputation wherever I went. My friends and family, my closest friends at least, were very clear, Michael, you smell. Michael, put your shoes back on, you smell. And I can only say that with a clear conscience because that's no longer true. I do wear socks, and I do my very best to smell nice. In fact, I'm starting to get a reputation of smelling nice. My fiance says, Michael, you always smell good. And I'm like, that's good to hear because I never used to hear that. It's not even essential for the sermon, but I just want to get this across, that there is a reputation that follows me and is now finally beginning to change, where people think of me as someone who smells good. I've got too many colognes. Anyway, I'm making up for lost time. Yeah. If I'm wrong, you can tell me in love, and I'll do my best to change. All right. You'll hear a little bit more about me later, but that's the first thing you needed to know. 2 Corinthians 2, let's read and start in verse 12. It says, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, and to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God." And this has always been one of my favorite passages, but I don't get to it very often. I don't read through it enough. And if you kind of go a little bit further back and dig into what's going on with Paul, in a way, a lot of people assume at this time he's having this moment where he's kind of in a chaotic mode, where he's considering the ministry that he's focused on. In Macedonia, it appears, based off other parts of Scripture, that he had built a church, that he wanted to get back to his church, that he was overwhelmed because he couldn't get back. We know this also happened a lot because he was in prison. For many times, he was sitting in prison, wrote a few of the scriptures in the New Testament, and those were times that he said, you know, "I longing want to join you. I want to come to you." And in this moment, Paul is a little bit disgruntled because he's having trouble getting Titus back. He's keeping an eye on him. And there's a few things going here that I'm not going to go into today, but there is this moment that Paul kind of stops. It's like he's thinking of Macedonia, he's thinking of where he needs to be, what all needs to be done, and he stops and he has to remind himself really who he is, like where he is and who he is, and kind of lay all of that aside. And this happens multiple times throughout his ministry. But all of a sudden in the midst of it, because again, he says, "To preach the gospel of Christ, I found that the Lord had opened a door to me. I still had no peace of mind." So in this moment, he's saying that my mind is all over the place. And all of a sudden, he stops and he declares something. And that is the focus of this morning that I want to share. He says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." Most of you, or some of you may know this, but one of the things that they believe that he said this was something that happened during that time in Rome was when the Romans would go out to conquer land, they would go and they would take captives and they would conquer an area or a people. And when they came back, and I think it was maybe Gabe, you had talked about the Messiah coming, Jesus coming, that you only had, it was either Nick or Gabe, I think, talked about how for Jesus to come in and there was this big celebration, it was kind of strange because ultimately he hadn't really conquered a people. He hadn't done what would be the qualifications for a celebration or a parade or a triumphal entry. Because the Romans, when they conquered a people, would come back, and one of the things they would do is that they would trail their captives in the street to let everyone see what they had accomplished. And one of the accompanying things that they would do is that in the temples, they would burn incense. And the purpose of the burning of the incense was to make it clear that a victory had been won, so that the people would come out, that they would be drawn by the smells, and they would go out to celebrate in the street because of this great entry. Now, one of the things it says here is that to those that, and we're going to get to the spiritual nature of this, really the more important part, but it says to some it is life and to some it is death. To those that were being brought in the street as captives, that smell of incense was a smell of defeat, right? If you came in and they were jeering and celebrating and laughing and celebrating, for the Romans, it was great. This is the greatness of Rome. For the people being drug in with them, this was not a smell of comfort nor peace, nor was it something that would draw them. In fact, chances are it made them sick. It was a reminder of what they had lost and who they were in this moment. They were captives. They were prisoners. They were no longer free. And I'm going to dig into that in a little bit. But this idea of smelling, obviously, in a spiritual sense, you and I don't have an actual fragrance, in which I'm going to get to, but he uses this as an explanation because you and I understand what it means to smell. Smell something good, smell something bad. I told you guys at the beginning I had a reputation of smelling badly. In all reality, everyone in this room has a reputation of some sort of how you smell. And I'm not talking about in a physical sense. If I were to ask, that would be an interesting. One of the things I did in youth group, our youth pastor had us do when I was younger, it was kind of risky. We had a piece of paper and we put our name on it and then we passed it down the line and everyone wrote down what they thought of us. And no one was going to say anything mean, but you were supposed to write something about that person that you recognized, something that you noticed about them that you had observed. And by the end of it, you got your paper back and you got to read through the list of how people viewed you. It was actually very fascinating. I have mine till this day, and I'm happy to say that none of them were really negative. Some of them were kind of goofy, like you're really a funny person, and some was you really love the Lord, and I can see that. But it was interesting because I got a little insight of how people saw me or how people viewed me. Now, I wonder what the unwritten list was. You know, no one's going to put down there what they didn't really think, but every one of you actually has, I have a reputation with you of some sort. And thankfully, I'm not going to ask you what that reputation is because most of you probably wouldn't be honest in that. So, no, but we all have a reputation. And in this way here, he talks about this scent that we are. He's recognizing, he's proclaiming something beautiful about who and what we are, that we are a fragrance to those who are in Christ. So there's three groups that the focus is this morning. There are those that are in Christ. There are those that are coming to Christ, meaning they're in the active process of having their heart changed. They are observing, they are walking, they're being discipled, and they're at that point that they are getting ready to surrender their life. And then there's those who are actively fleeing that smell. There are those that are actively fleeing salvation, that are actively living a life in contradiction to what Christ wants. And so I have a few just kind of thoughts today, and I want to share them. I brought candles today, and the second part of what I have to tell about myself, and for most of you guys, I'm going to lose some man cards today. I'm going to have you open up real quick to John 15. Hold your place there, because I'm going to mention back 2 Corinthians, but I'm going to read John 15. So if you want to open your place up there, and I was going the wrong direction. John 15, and read, start with verse 4 here. It says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, and it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." All right, we're going to stop there and read verse 5 again. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." Paul stops in 2 Corinthians and he acknowledges who he is in Christ. And it is an acknowledgement that he recognizes outside of Christ, what is he? He is Saul. Without Christ, he is Saul once again, living in religion, doing all the things that he used to do, and it is Christ that made the difference, all the difference in the world. And here there's an acknowledgement that Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Understand who you are in that lineup, that I am the one that gives life, I am the one that bears fruit, and if you try to do anything outside of me, the result is there's going to be no fruit. But there is the promise and guarantee, the fruit will come as you abide in me. And what's this have to do with this portion is that Paul is acknowledging who he is, and he says, what we are is a beautiful and fragrant aroma to those who are saved. My hope to you and hope from you is that when you meet with brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be someone a part of this body or other believers anywhere, that there is a fragrant aroma that brings life to you. The purpose of the Christian life among each other is to build, and this was my sermon a few weeks ago, was to build one another up in your most holy faith. Hopefully you feed off of me, and hopefully I feed off of you when I'm around you. And so you either bring life to me through that aroma of smell, or you drag me down, or that is kind of defeated in my heart when I'm around you. And you will do one or the other. And so that is the first goal. But also the goal is the attractiveness to others, the ones that are on that cusp. Many of you right now are ministering to people that are at that place right now, that you are at that position where somebody is in your life and you know that they're just there. They're right there getting ready. And hopefully as you meet with them, as you share with them, as you spend your life around them, that there is that aroma that is slowly, slowly drawing them. Now, I talked about how I'm going to lose my man cards. I am one of those guys, and maybe I'm the only guy, who I like to go to the candle section. And that was actually hard admitting, because how many times do you go to the candle section, there's just guys lined up there, outside of the guy that maybe is grabbing one for his wife or a girlfriend and moving on. How many guys do you see walking through going, oh yeah, you just see, that was this one, you know, oh, vanilla, my favorite, you know. I'm one of those guys, okay? You might see me at Walmart occasionally when I run low on my candle collection. And I'm not even going to tell you how many candles are at my house. You can mock me all you want. My fiance finds it endearing. So that's all I need at this point. The reality is I like candles. I like what they do. I like when I go to someone's house and I smell a candle. And you know immediately when you smell it, because you walk in and there's an inviting smell of cinnamon rolls. And the unfortunate part is there is no cinnamon roll, so you're a little bit let down. But there is that fragrance, right? You can walk into a home and there's many homes that I've walked into throughout my life, and there is a bad smell. You don't know what it is. You all know those times you've been to someone's house, or you're scared that someone comes into your house and they smell something bad. And immediately there is a tone that is set. There is a feeling that comes with you. There's something inviting about a fragrance in a home that engulfs you when you walk in, right? And that is one thing that I thought about. So I brought two of my candles today. One of my favorites, and then another one that's just, it's just average. And just wanted to talk just briefly about them. You can't from this distance really tell what they are. This has no name on it. This one says maple syrup pancakes. I'm not going to tell you how much I spent on it, but my goodness, every time you smell it, all you want is pancakes. It is good. Now, each one of you could come over here, and I could pass it down the aisle, and you could get a little whiff, right? If you get close enough, this one you can smell. This one, you're not going to smell anything. And the reason is because this one is a decorative candle. I'm not a candle expert. Okay, I don't know my candles very well, but for every scented candle, you have 1,000 decoration candles. You know, the little white ones you put up, the ones we do up here every Christmas for Advent season. You got plenty of those, and the purpose of them is to have light and also to be decorative. But if you get up close, all you're going to smell is either you're going to get burned or you're going to smell wax, burning wax. Okay, no one really enjoys that smell. Does anybody here enjoy that? I just want to make sure I'm not saying that. Okay, we don't burn these kind of candles for smell. There's nothing attractive about them in itself except for what it's in. And then when you light it, it's got this kind of feeling that the candle's lit and it's a nice decoration. The purpose of this one is to affect you in your senses. It's supposed to make you smell something, and you're supposed to be engulfed by the smell of pancakes when you walk in the room. Both of them are good, right? Both of them have a purpose. Both of them do their purpose. If I were to light this one and leave it in this room, I believe it's strong enough, and I was going to do it, but I was scared someone in here is going to be like, oh, I can't take it. And so then I was going to feel bad. And so I didn't light it, but it can make the aroma in my kitchen and my dining room and living room all smell within a short time. This one I can also light, and it does its job. It looks nice, and it causes light if you like the light stem. All that to say is they both do their job. And so I was looking at both of these candles, and I was thinking about the Christian life. And I compared them here and said that I think in many ways both of these represent the Christian life. And I think the white one is very much what the majority like to fall into. And what it is it does its job, meaning we all know what a Christian somewhat looks like, right? And we all kind of do the things that Christians do. We go to church Sunday morning. We spend our time in devotions. You know, whatever that looks like to you, we all give probably in some sense or form. We have charity, missions, we give, we donate, we participate in whatever church activities we do. It's all the good things that we like to do as Christians, and all of it's fine and good and wonderful, but it's also not this one. And the question is, I think that a lot of people, and sometimes even in my own life, I like to settle for this one. Very contented to just do what we've always done and to look as I've always looked. But honestly, the more and more, I want to look like this one. Because you can walk into my house and you can see this from a distance and be like, oh, that's a candle. Or you can walk in and be blown back by the smell of maple syrup pancakes. And I was thinking a lot of that because a lot of times I think in our faith, and maybe this is just me, but I think it's very easy to, we don't want to be impose our faith on others, right? We don't want people to be uncomfortable. I think we talk about, me and Stephanie, we were talking about seeker-friendly churches this morning, and it's so easy to fall into that because the biggest thing is we want people to be comfortable. We want them to be content, and we want them to enjoy their time, and we don't really want people to feel emotions of negativity. And I think oftentimes that comes along with our faith, that we don't want people to feel that. But I just want to be really clear this morning that our faith was never meant to be a comfortable faith. I've always believed that if you come into this church this morning, and I'm going to talk to anybody here who doesn't know the Lord, and you actively know that, my prayer weekly is that you come into this room and don't feel comfortable. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. I don't want you to sit in this room and look and observe all the people around you and see what they're doing and be a part of it and leave the exact same way and don't feel any different. If that's what you're feeling, then really what we're doing here is useless. If there is not a feeling, and whether it be in this building or when and someone who doesn't know Christ comes to you or is around you on a regular basis, if they can come and spend time around you and feel absolutely nothing, and they're completely comfortable with you in every single way, there's a problem. And what I mean by that is what I'm going to talk about in the at the last part of this. It says in verse 15, we're going to go through this. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And to the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life." To someone who is not saved, someone who has not come into that relationship where they haven't been reborn, when they come in contact with you, the hope is that they see a mirror of really, not in you, but they see a reflection of who they are and recognize what they're lacking. My hope is that somebody that is living in darkness, when they're around me, that the scent is very evident that there is something unique and there is something that I have that draws them in. And I want to be very careful to say this is not a message about works. This isn't about you building up to this point that you can do enough to get people to be drawn to you. And I'm going to tell you exactly at the end how that works. But I want us to understand that this morning is that I don't want people that don't know the Lord to come around me and feel fully comfortable where they're at. I want them to look at me and say, I want something that he's got. And it's very easy for me because it's convenient to be this candle. I just want to get through my day. I just want to get to the end of the week. I just want to leave work as quickly as I can. I want to do all these things just to go about my life and do everything that I've always done. And it takes intentionality to be this candle. It really does. And it does take sacrifice to stop and be this for people, to allow them to partake in what this is in us. And I also wrote down, why is this fragrance, why is this scent death to some? And I thought, number one, those outside of Christ have an enemy that seeks to do one thing and one thing alone, is to keep the world from Christ. And we talked about that in Sunday school again. That is the constant friction you and I come against, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the enemy who seeks to keep people lost. And I don't know if it's Romans or Corinthians, but Paul starts off the chapter by saying this, "For you that are in your sin," meaning that you live in the flesh, that you are not saved, he says, you're what? You're dead. He's very clear. I've always loved that passage because he doesn't beat around the bush and saying, well, you just missed it, you know, you got a little further to go. He says, you're dead. There is no life in you when you live this way. And so you've got, number one, the enemy that is in opposition to you and all wonderful things that God has done. And you've got your own flesh battling within you. And so for some, the fragrance that you give off is death to them because they're lacking and because they've got the enemy that wants to keep them blinded to it. And I've always said that in you're in a room of darkness, people, when you create a light, some will come, some will not. Your job as a believer is to simply be the light of Christ, and the Lord will draw who he will draw. But some will reject, and some will hate. Some will despise who and what you are. And that's just right here. It says that to some it is death, and to some it is life. Now, I just want to bring it down to terms that just make sense to me. I run a vending route, and I service many different people, different types of people, and different companies. And they all are very unique. And after a certain time of servicing each and every one of them, they start each having a reputation that I never forget. Okay, so I've got a few places that are do rubber. I have a few rubber factories that they work on rubber parts. It's pretty stenchy in there. And you walk in, it's really toxic smelling. And it's interesting because I found the places that smell the worst also have employees that are my least favorite employees. I feel like that their attitudes reflect what they do. And most of them will admit, I hate being here. I've heard it hundreds of times in the last 8 years. You will hear the same thing from the people that work at these accounts. They say, I hate working here. I hate the people around me. I want to go home, but the money's good. And I'm like, I understand, because the second I walk in, I can't wait to be done and get out of that building. There is a stench and odor that is death to me when I walk in. Now, there's another place that I no longer service. We don't have them anymore. It's a little place called Snacks and Packs in Ligonier. And they make caramel corn. And you can smell the building before you go in. And every time I got there, it was like, no matter what my day looked like, I just couldn't wait to get to Snacks and Packs. I walk in the lobby, and they've got the caramel corn all on the wall. And all I could smell was caramel corn, kettle corn, and they had other treats there. And it was like the best smelling place. And so those are just two examples, but every one of my places has people like that. I have one account that's average. The receptionist, this young lady, is one of the sweetest girls I've ever known. When I have an awful day and I'm just fed up, go in there and she's super sweet and we have a conversation, I can end my day happy. You know why? Because there is this beauty, there is this fragrance that radiates from this young lady that changes the attitude of my heart every single time I go in there. And the reason I explain that to you is that every single one of my accounts has a reputation with me, and I could tell you every single one that I despise going to, and every one that I can't wait to get to, and I can tell you exactly the type of people that work there after my experience. My point is this: you and I also have that reputation with the people we're around. You either look a lot like this white candle, or you're kind of like that dead carcass that I talked about at the beginning. You may not see it, but you know it. And you avoid that area at all costs. Or, just like that receptionist, when people go into your lobby and have a conversation with you, they begin to smell the fragrance of the heart that you have. Whether she's a believer or not, I don't know. But I would guess that she is, based off who she is and the way she acts and the conversations we've had. My point is this, is that people know where to go to find that fragrance. And they know whether to avoid you or to come to you. And we live in a time that is very difficult for our society, and there's a lot of chaos going around. And I know one thing for sure: when things start falling apart, people are looking for someone to go to. And if you're the white candle, you may be doing everything fine. You may be living just a completely righteous life, doing all the things that a Christian does, all good things, but no one's going to come to you because you don't offer anything more than anyone else. But I promise you this, if you begin to look like this, people are going to come to you. My mom was someone that was like that, whether in her sickness or whether in life, throughout her life, she was one of those people that you couldn't avoid the smell and the aroma of who she was. Okay, and I say that not as a son, but as someone who understood what that's like. And people would come throughout my life. We had people of all sorts, people that were homeless, people that had wealth. It didn't matter who they were. They came and they just loved being with my mom because there was something vibrant and lively about her. And she wasn't ashamed of who she was and what she gave. And when she was sick, many people who were not Christians, people that were, came because they loved her so much that in her weakness, they wanted to encourage her. And they would go confidently to her room to share and to encourage, and they would leave in tears. Good tears. Because when they left the room, they were so overwhelmed by who my mom was that they would leave in tears, because she would somehow have this way of opening the heart of somebody and digging deep. And there was a fragrance about the room when you walked. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong. She's like, 60, 70 pounds, maybe less because of her cancer. And she's in there. And the power of what the Spirit was doing there was so evident. She could do nothing. She couldn't get out of bed. She couldn't actively go anywhere. And yet that life was so great. The Spirit of God was so strong on her that people would come and they would leave not the same. Now, I won't stretch to saying that I'm like her. I want to be that way. Not because I do all these extra things to make people attracted to me. I want you to come in contact with me and say, you know what? He knows where he's going, and he's encouraging, and my goodness, he loves Jesus. You know how you know when it's raining outside when someone walks in and they're soaking wet and you're like, is it raining outside? And you're like, yeah, it's raining outside. I'm drenched. That's the kind of life I want to live, is that everywhere I go, not in this building, but when I go to work, when I'm around my family, when I'm around somebody who is struggling, who is asking questions, who is questioning their faith, that they all of a sudden are certain that that's real. I don't know what I believe. I don't know where I'm at, but that's real and that's where I want to be. I have people in my life that are like that, and they're a handful. We all know people like that that just radiate and drip the presence of the Spirit, and there is this drawing, and there is an all-compassing smell of this maple syrup pancakes that's just, that's the only thing I think about when it's in my house and it's burning. It's just like every room I walk into, it's like, it's evident. It's clear. And the people that do it, they're just like you and me, except for they're just dripping and radiating the presence of the Lord. And so how do we get that? Do we just turn a button on? Is that what it looks like? No. I also want to mention this one thing, is that many denominations, many churches, and I'm going to be very careful in this, the New Testament's very clear that you and I are to seek the gifts of the Spirit, right? The gifts of the Spirit are there. They are at work. That the Lord is working and moving, and they are to be sought after. And all the things that we do here in ministry, whether we give to missions, whether you participate in a missions trip, whether you participate in Sunday school, whatever it is that we do together, it's all good and wonderful. But I will tell you this, and this is true, and anyone could tell you this outside of the church, is it doesn't matter what God has given you as far as gifts. No matter how well you play the piano, no matter how well you speak, no matter how well you perform at your job and you give faithfully, whatever it is, all the greatest gifts that you could achieve, it absolutely amounts to nothing if people don't know that you're sincere and they aren't loved by you. Honestly, your greatest gifts are like filthy rags to people if you don't smell good. And I know a lot of people are very gifted. My sister Candy, let me see where we're at. Going a little longer than I should. My sister Candy went to Australia. Her dream was, everyone here knows Hillsong. Probably all had different views on Hillsong, but it was definitely a primary worship set growing up in our home. But she had always loved it, and my mom did too. And so Candy's like, I want to go to Hillsong for college for a year. You know what's interesting? And I'm not going to tell you who, but there are people that you listened to growing up. Some of you, an older generation, listened to some of the artists that were part of Hillsong back in the day. And now there's a lot of newer, younger individuals there. She went there and got a behind-the-scenes picture of all the people that you and I get to hear on, you know, whatever we listen to for Hillsong. And there was a few of them that she said, it's amazing, when they got up there, you were just awed by the fact that they could lead and sing and play. And then I had a conversation with them and realized nobody wanted to be around them. And there was a few that I could name that I was shocked. I was like, that's who they are? And she's like, I never want to talk to them again. The way they treated me, the way they act, the way they lived was completely contrary to what you hear on the CD. And Candy's like, it didn't matter. All the years that I've enjoyed their music, and it's been great, their attitudes, their personalities do not draw me to Christ. And I'm not talking about all of Hillsong. I'm talking about the people that Candy came in contact with. And I thought that was amazing because those people are gifted. And yet Candy recognized by the way they treated her as an individual, there was nothing appealing. There was no fragrance to them. In fact, the biggest thing she wanted to do was run out of the room and avoid them at all costs. And I thought that was very fascinating, but I think that's true in a micro level for you and me. Because I don't really care about the gifts in this room, but if you love somebody and treat them well, and you're radiating the fragrance of the Lord, you don't have to do one thing in this church in using your gifts. But out there, you could have a bigger impact than what everyone else here is doing. If you're out there and people's lives are being changed by you, then you're probably doing 10 times more than I'm doing in this pulpit right now. That's success. That is what we're called to. Not so much focused on, we've got to make sure that everyone knows. It is simply the overflow of our cup being filled. You realize that? Is that our faith is really when your cup is overflowing, what do you got to do with the other amount of fluid coming out? You got to fill other cups. You got the bucket with the raindrops coming down, and the bucket, you all know the cracks in the ceiling that you've had before, and the bucket fills up. What do? You got to get another bucket and fill it up. That is what the Christian life is. It is not me waking up saying, how in the world am I going to get them to come to know the Lord? It is, I am so enthralled, like we sang, that I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. All those things, when your life is so consumed with Christ, your cup will overflow, and that will begin to drip off of you, and to the point that everywhere you go, people will say, I smell that. In a sense, I smell that. And yes, there are people that will resist the light. But Jesus was very clear. He said, let your light shine, don't hide it. You don't need to fear that you're not opposing your faith to someone else. What does Paul say? He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it has the power to bring life. If I truly believe that, then it's not an imposition to go to someone in darkness and say, hey, here's the light I want you to see. Yes, that completely uproots their life and completely makes them uncomfortable because they recognize all that's lacking within their own life. But I want them to feel that discomfort because I don't want them in darkness. If I truly believe that it is the gospel, then I won't be ashamed of it. Again, Paul was very clear in Philippians 3. He starts off the chapter by saying what? He says that I lived a righteous life. I did all the things a good Christian would do. I'd say, you know, for us, a good Christian would do. And he said, all of it summed up really is just worthless. It's filthy rags. And then he follows it by saying this, but I want to know Christ. Because that makes the difference. That brings all the things we do as a Christian, all our actions, all our church attendance, all good things, all now has meaning because of how we use it and what we do with it. I asked Stephanie, she read Galatians 5, because my thing is often when I preach a sermon, I'm like, I don't want this to sound works-based because it's not. You don't just wake up and say, here's the five steps to illuminate and to give off a fragrance this way. I don't wake up thinking that every day. I simply want to just be. And so this is the reality. And so read what you read this morning loud enough for everyone here. And she's going to be reading in Galatians 5 in the Message version. So go ahead and read what you read this morning. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What did I read in John? It says that you are the branches, I'm the vine. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If you find yourself apart from him, you will find yourself not bearing fruit, and it'll be evident because you'll look like the white candle going about life as you always have. Denominations have this unfortunate thing that every denomination does, especially if you're in ministry, and they demand to know numbers. They want to know, is your church growing? They want to know how many are there, how many vacation Bible school kids came, how many came to youth group. They're really good at that. And every year when I do a report, when I was in the Assemblies of God, And when I was with this denomination, I have to write certain things, just kind of a summary of how much we've grown, things like that. All understandable. But I'm going to be honest, I don't care how many we have here. Honestly, I only care about one thing, is the truth is the same in the flesh as it is in the spirit. If you smell badly, people aren't going to want to be near you. And if you smell good, people are going to be drawn to you. And whether there's 10 in here every week or whether we fill up the pews, I don't want to be a white candle. I don't want any of you to be a white candle. When Moses left the mountain, now when he went on the mountain, nothing had really changed. And when he came off the mountain, what did it say that the people noticed? When he went up there and they said, "Will you intercede for us?" He went on top of the mountain and it says they knew that he had been with God because he illuminated God. He had been in the presence of God. The more that you spend with the vine, the more your fruit will grow and people will come to you. Is it little wonder that when we're not attached to the vine or walking with the vine, that God's not sending people our way? What do you have to offer them? But when you are walking by him, when people are saying, you know, they may not understand it. They don't. Many people outside these four walls don't understand what that means or what it looks like. All they know is that something is different about you. And that door opens up and you don't need to pull out your five steps. You just need to illuminate. And I promise you that it will light. And I remember these candles. I just close with this thought. Both of these candles will do their part, right? This one smells good. This one's decoration. They both cause light. Now they're useless if something's not done. What has to be done to make them work? Yeah, they have to be lit. You can come up here real quick and smell really close. Yeah, I smell a faint smell of pancakes. But if you come to my house, whenever day that is, and I've lit this candle, it'll have real meaning to you because it'll be lit. But the only reason it's lit is because the flame lights it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't care about your gifts. I don't care what you have to offer the Lord. I don't care what I have to offer. Apart from him, I can't do anything. But when lit by the Spirit, it does its purpose. And it's not no longer just a decoration. I don't know if you get anything out of this sermon. And maybe you don't. Maybe it's just me, and that's okay. If you can take something from it, wonderful. I just don't want to go back to life as normal. I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't want to just accept the day-to-day thing. I think Stephanie, you said, we talked about that this morning. A Christian's life, you are called to be content but not satisfied. Content with what you've been given, content in worldly things, but not satisfied with the level of where we're at. Don't be complacent. Don't go back to life as normal and just say, "God, I'm fine with this. I don't want any more." It is risky saying, "I want all that you have for me," but it is a joy to take that journey. So don't go back to what just you've always done. Wake up tomorrow and realize, "Lord, I want to radiate. I want to come in and people to say, I think it's raining outside because you're soaking wet." Okay? So take from it what you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, we recognize today all this is useless unless your Spirit dwells within us. And Father, if there's any tidbits of truth in here, Lord, if the only truth in here is your word, and my words, Lord, have no meaning, then let your word be enough. And Father, I pray that we would not be decoration candles. Don't let us just go about life doing as we always have, but Lord, let us seek to know you more, because by knowing you and spending time with you, Father, we can't help but have a fragrant aroma to those who are dying, Lord, to those who are perishing. Father, we want to be a light. We want to be a lifeguard to those who are drowning. But we can only do it because of you. Don't let us be satisfied with simply existing. But let us strive, Lord. Let us seek you. Let us walk with you, Lord, so that people say they've been with Jesus. They've seen God. And Father, I want what they have because inside I'm empty. And Father, I pray this week that you would bring people to us and that, Lord, that they would smell the fragrance, Lord, that we would not be a stench, that we would not be a person, a follower of you that people avoid, but, Lord, that people would be drawn to, and that you And your wisdom and your power, Lord, would give us the words that we need to love and to speak and to share and to be simply who we were created to be with your Spirit in us. Lord, go with each of us, Lord. Today, Lord, let us have a restful day and let us be rejuvenated, restored, refreshed for the week ahead. We love you, our Heavenly Father, and we give you all praise and glory for this body, for this family, and for what you're doing and what you will do in your wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy. Go make a snowman or something today.